country. It's time to dance.
Buckins for three. Got it.
From Shanahan again. She scores.
Ace Cowens, top right corner, with half a second to go, and the Cats win.
Hey everybody, welcome in to another episode of Catamount Insider. This is episode 6 of our 2025-2026 season. I'm your host, Brian McLaughlin, and it's great to have you with us. If you're live on our Friday morning episode, wherever you're finding this podcast, it's great to have you. This week we're joined by Jax Wismer of the men's ice hockey team, who take on number 17, Boston College, this upcoming weekend. I refer to BC as 18th a couple of times in the interview, but that ranking was updated after we finished recording with Jax. But fun preview of that series this weekend against Boston College, and we get to hear all about the freshman season of Jax Wismer, what went into his offseason development, and then he's off to a really good start this year. He scored a goal and an assist in a recent Hockey East win against UNH. So fun interview with Jax Wismer, the sophomore defender on the UVM men's ice hockey team. So much going on, though, around Catamount country to update you all on. The Vermont women's soccer team just punched their ticket to the America East title game, hosting on Sunday. It's going to be an awesome game. They're taking on the reigning America East champion, Maine Black Bears, who's also America East field hockey championships in town this weekend, with the Vermont Catamounts hosting the New Hampshire Wildcats, and of course the UVM men's soccer team getting ready for their America East tournament run. We've got ice hockey, we've got basketball, so much going on, so much to talk about. It's going to be a fun next couple of weeks for Catamount Insider, so make sure you keep tuning in. Hoping to put out more interviews. We might be adding some extra audio interviews for you all, so for those of you listening right here on our podcast feed, we've also got one video episode per week available on YouTube. You can head on over to the Vermont Athletics YouTube page. You can see all of our episodes there. But we might be adding some bonus episodes for you audio listeners here on the audio side of things, wherever you're finding Catamount Insider. All right, let's not go on any longer. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, Jax Wismer on Catamount Insider.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients, built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Welcome in to Catamount Insider. I'm Brian McLaughlin, here with Jax Wismer of the UVM men's ice hockey team. Jax, thanks so much for taking the time, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Brian. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, excited to talk about the team's start to the year, sitting in the 3-3 record, 1-1 in Hockey East play. You yourself had a big weekend with a goal and an assist against UNH last time out. Assess the year for me, though, from your perspective. How's it been going?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's really exciting. You kind of get to hear about, I guess, like we saw the other weekend. This is the first time since, like, it was like 2018 that this team had a 2-2 start. And so it's been exciting to kind of, I guess, I felt like for my, I guess, you could, it's not been 2 years. This is my second start to the season, though. But for the years that I've been involved with UVM and then also been hearing about them, like, this is been building blocks and just stacking years into trying to get this program back into a place where it was back in the day. I mean, we're surrounded by it right now. We see the success around us up here in the Hall of Fame. And so, it's been good. I think there's a lot of room, which is really exciting for our team to keep things going and start stacking more wins, and really looking forward into the rest of the year here.
Hockey East play got started last time out against New Hampshire. Lose the first one, but then you win the second one. What goes into that first series of the season? Tell me about that matchup specifically with UNH.
Yeah, I mean, they were, personally for me, when I played them my freshman year, I felt they were a really challenging team to play against, really well coached, and have a bunch of dogs in their team that makes it really hard to play in that rank. And so I it was awesome. I think it was a good test for our team and for our new guys to be able to go in there and play against a good UNH team that this year had some success already with beating Michigan State and being in some tight games already. And so I felt the first night, actually, it was a really good start, and we were playing as a five-man system that we kind of got away from that as the game went on. And then, yeah, the second night, things were clicking a bit more. Obviously, I was lucky enough, like you mentioned, to be able to be on the score sheet. But, yeah, it was a really nice feeling to be able to split there and just get our feet under us in Hockey East, which is always a good feeling.
Can you walk me through your goal, just what you saw on the play?
Yeah, I felt like there was a couple opportunities for me earlier in the year, and obviously for me, you don't want to think about goals too much, but I mean, they're really nice, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves them.
Yeah.
And so, like Phil Tornquist obviously got the pass across, but it starts with our three forwards. I believe it was the Gain Donald line with Kessler and Strand who were out there, and worked really hard in the corner to, like we were talking about earlier, puck protection, getting that first touch, and getting up to Torny, and but looking back at it, I was like, whoa, I had a lot of space in front of me. Maybe if next time, bring that downhill. But just kind of put some anger behind that one, let it go, and was lucky enough to let it go in. So it was awesome.
Yeah, tell me about the feeling of scoring. Obviously, team wins are the most important thing. But that moment when you fire one and it finds the back of the net, that joy you feel has got to be pretty singular, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you grow up, like, playing pond hockey, everything. You always want to be the guy that scores. And then especially now, as I've gotten older and the college hockey level, I mean, here, like, there's nothing better, obviously, as you know, like, you're in a packed gut. You want to be that guy that gets a goal. And then there, too, like, they have a cool student section. They're in the game. And to be able to put one away and kind of hear that silence for a second, it's really, it's awesome. That I'm grateful that I got to experience it earlier on this year. And hopefully many more. That's the goal.
You are a defender, of course, so maybe not known as a goal scorer, but is that a part of your game that you're working on? Is that a part of the game that you bring to the table every time out?
Yeah, it's something for me. I really do take a lot of pride in my offensive game, and it's something that I want to be that dynamic threat and be able to help our team win with being on the score sheet. Obviously, as you mentioned, I am a defender, and so it comes from my zone first, and being as like Weeds has been really, really crucial for me in my development, and making sure that I take care of that end first and the little intrinsics and the details that go into being a defenseman in Hockey East. And yeah, and then obviously when you can make guys miss up front or score some goals, like you mentioned, it's always nice.
Okay, let's rewind a bit back to your freshman season. 2 goals and 14 assists, the final line for you. Assess that freshman year, though, overall. Just kind of rewind in your head and kind of walk me through how you feel about that. You're looking back on it now.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Like, this has been the dream forever. I was lucky enough, my uncle, Jeff Marshall, played at Ohio State and then actually at Plattsburgh State, which is across the
no
pond
way.
Here in Vermont. And so this has always been kind of a part of my family and has been the goal. And so when you finally get here, it is a bit of like a pinch me moment. And early on, I felt like, as always, there's that growing pain and a bit of like, hey, like, this is, you're a bit uncomfortable, and you're just trying to get your feet under you and feel like you, I guess you could say, like, belong a bit. There's a bit of that overwhelming feeling that you have to get over. And I was lucky enough that, like, obviously the coaching staff here, I owe a ton of credit to. Like, they did believe in me and kept putting me in opportunities where I could be successful. And obviously for some, it always isn't that the case. And so I do owe a ton of credit to them. And then obviously my teammates from last year. But yeah, I think finally towards that second half, I actually started to feel like, yeah, I could have an impact on these games and start to put my mark on a hockey game. And it was a lot of fun. Like, I'm really grateful for the steps I took last year.
Yeah, was there a specific moment that you remember happening where you kind of felt like, yeah, I belong in this?
I would say, yeah, it's a good, great question. I would say my second half, we came back and we played Boston University. And obviously, there's no secret, like, we at Vermont here, we want to beat everybody else, but it is Boston University. There's a lot of history there. You
Big
know the
name.
Players. Yeah, exactly. And so I just before the game, you're sitting there, and there's nothing more you want than be able to go out there and put your mark on a game. And I just felt like right away I was able to skate and use my abilities really well, and which kind of opened up my, I guess, I was like, oh, there's opportunities here that lie in front of me. And I was able to score that. I think I believe I scored that weekend, maybe the first or second game, not too sure, but yeah, like, that was a big eye-opener for me, be like, hey, like, this is something that you can do this, like, believe in yourself. And and then also with our team, like, that second game, I know for sure we were in it and ended up actually shooting ourselves in the foot against a really good team that went on to the national championship. And so it was a bit of a call for our younger guys and for me personally, and just be like, yeah, like, this is, you can do this, like, come on, put some belief behind yourself.
young team last year. You got obviously youth on this year's team as well, but as a part of that freshman class a year ago, so many of you guys were contributors on the ice pretty much from day one. What was that like for you and your class to come into this program and feel like you were making an impact right away? And how did you guys try to step in on campus and be a group that could belong on the ice pretty much from the get-go?
Yeah, I mean, it made the experience awesome just because obviously you want to do it as a team, and then also it also feels like a bit when we talk about it with Weeds, like there is a bit of a team within a team with our class. I mean, they are like five of my, now I guess six with Ethan Burrows being here. They're six of my best friends, and last year being able to see their success and kind of they did, like Max Strand and Colin Kessler, like they set the pace and they were like, hey, like this is what it's gonna look like. And so the leadership they showed, I'm always grateful for, because it did help me be like, hey, like it almost dragged me along in that sense. And then obviously like Blake Steenerson, Mikey Lestarza, Charlie Kinsman, like all really, really good players and guys that you're like, yeah, these guys can do it. And so it was awesome. It was awesome to be able to, I guess, among our peers, be able to take what we were doing and kind of run with it and be like, hey, like we're going to help push a program, push our team forward. And, obviously that doesn't end with just us. That's our senior class as well last year. And our coaches being like, hey, like you guys are a part of this team. And so, yeah, we were just really fortunate. We're really lucky.
What do you remember about the recruiting process? What kind of led you to here, and when did you first kind of meet that group of guys that you ended up with?
It was actually, it was really, really wild for me. I was previously committed to the University of Connecticut for about 4 years, running into my second year of juniors, which was my final season. And in end of March, I ended up falling. There was a fall through with me in UConn, and the next day, actually, I woke up to, we were in British Columbia, so we're a bit behind this East Coast timeline, and I woke up at, like, I want to say, like, 7 in the morning, and we had a game that day, and it was a call from Burlington, Vermont, and picked up the phone, and Weeds' voice was the first thing I heard, and I was like, hey, like, even when you pick up the phone, there's just that, like, it sounds cliche, but there is that feeling, you're just like, yeah, like, something feels right, and so jumped on a Zoom call shortly after, and they were very, very complimentary of me, but it was also the fact that like Weeds was willing to right away like put some pointers out there and be like, hey, this is where I see you. And for me, like in the recruiting process, you don't really see that a lot. It's a lot of like, I wouldn't say sugarcoating, but it is like, obviously you're trying to bring someone in. It's like a business. You're trying to bring someone into a company. You're trying to tell them how great it is and how great they are. And Weeds right away was like, hey, but you have to do this and this. And I was like, hey, this is great. I want to play for this guy. And I was really lucky that they believed in me enough to come in and play my freshman year last year. And haven't looked back since.
Freshman year comes to a close. What goes on like the week or two after a season ends? Is that just trying to get your body back healthy? What is that time of the year, time of the season like?
Yeah, it was obviously it sucked because with us, I was like, you felt like it was a year where it would have been nice to just have that playoff progression as well and just take that step. Obviously, we weren't able to do that last year, but it was, yeah, like there was that 1 to 2 weeks off that we have, and then our program with Mike Etterer at the helm, our strength and conditioning is unbelievable here. And so you kind of get back in the gym right away. You get back in the grind. And you're kind of like, ah, you know what? You got a lot of this. Am I sure this is what I want to do? Because there's some hard days, but it is. It pays out dividends. And yeah, it gets right back into it. And it is a bit of a wild process with the NCAA in a sense of how your senior class then is now gone. So you look around the room and are like, wow, like right away, you're like, oh, we are older now. Like there's a bit of a leadership opportunity here. And so it was being able to have a bigger voice and just kind of for our class and for our junior class now senior class actually, but take the helm and just, hey, this is what the standard looks like, and set that every day.
Okay, what were you focused on individually as far as whether it's getting stronger or faster or stick work? What were the things you're really kind of highlighting as you approach that off season then?
I felt like for me, there's some pretty lofty goals I have for myself, and for me, the player I was last year, even with some success I saw, I felt like there was steps at all facets of my game that I needed to pick up. But I would say the biggest one was just being able to kind of, I guess you could say, strength. It was here, like you're always having contact. You always have some older, bigger, like it is. It's the pinnacle of hockey before pro, and just being able to be stronger and hold on to the puck within that area of contact was something I really wanted to focus on. So I was fortunate enough this summer with Mike, and then back home to work on like some single leg strength was, I guess, would say the biggest thing I worked on.
A lot I want to touch on there. Big individual goals for yourself. Yeah. Can you take me inside that at all?
Yeah, I think for me, it obviously comes with, like we talk about here, it's team first, but at the end of the day, like it is a business, and I want to be a guy who has an impact on the game every night and can be one of the more noticeable players in our conference. And I mean, that's no secret, right? You want to broadcast that, you want to set your intention. And so that's something I would like to do night in and night out. And obviously with our class, I want all the guys in my class to be in that same boat as well, because at the end of the day, that us being very successful individually is going to put this program in a pretty good spot.
From a leadership standpoint, what are ways that you have felt yourself grow from freshman to sophomore year?
I feel like just being able to like understand that I feel like my voice is important, and then also being able to communicate with our older guys, like Jens Richards and Phil Tornquist are such phenomenal leaders this year, in the sense of they do set the standard, but also very good communicators and motivators. And so for me, being able to kind of be off their backs a bit and kind of take what they're doing, but then yeah, like also understand that I am a sophomore now. There's my voice is something that needs to be kind of echoed sometimes and be heard, and just trying to make it be I guess be positive and motivate guys and also pick guys up. Like, you understand what it's like to be a freshman in this conference and in college hockey. Like, there are some really tough days, and there's some days where I definitely wasn't looking like the best hockey player out there, and that's going to happen. And being able to pick up our guys when they're down is, I think, one of the biggest things I try to do.
All right, let's go to the preseason then. From a team perspective, what were the things the group was really thinking about? And because I know the goals for the team always are elevated and you want to improve from last year to this year, but what were the things that the group really felt we need to get better at this to get and achieve some of those goals?
Yeah, I think for us it was just team speed. It was the biggest thing. Like, in this conference, it's, again, like I keep referring to it, but it is. Like, it's fast. We're really, really lucky that we play in such high-quality hockey, but yeah, like team speed, being able to go north quick and being a five-man unit was something we really focused on. And I think with Weeds too, like you talk to him for a minute or you talk to him for an hour, you know that this guy's pretty intense and he wants to win. And so being able to have that trickle-down effect and producing winners. Like, we're a winning program. That's what we want to do. The green and gold means a lot. I mean, we were lucky enough that our soccer team kind of put us on the map a bit too with their national championship. And yeah, like, winning happens at Vermont, and that's what we're trying to put back in as well into our hockey program.
Amen. Love that here on Catamount Insider. You've mentioned it so many times, I can't keep avoiding it. Hockey East, the conference, what about it just makes it so special?
Yeah, it's hard to explain sometimes, but there's just, I think the speed, the overall team speed that we see with everybody, and now when, like, I talked to you earlier, like, we're trying to elevate that and even make it a strength. It's quite the difficult task, but I think it is. We have a lot of high quality teams, high quality players, and to the point so much where you go into a Merrimack or you go into a UNH that even last year when they were at the bottom of the standings, like, they're like, well, these are some really, really good hockey teams with some really good players. And so every night seems to be a challenge, and to be able to get even one win, never mind two, is it's quite the task. And so that's what we're trying to do, is just keep stacking those one or two win weekends and separate us from the pack.
Was it always your goal to be a part of this conference in some ways? Cause it sounds like that was something you've been thinking about for a while.
Yeah, I think I was obviously I'm very, very fortunate to be a part of this team in this conference, because we've talked about, I would say in college hockey, it's definitely recognized for the quality of talent and quality of teams that come out of it. I mean, we saw it last year with Boston University and Boston College being in the Frozen Four. I mean, it's no secret. It's if you can have half of the Frozen Four be part of your conference, you're in a pretty good spot. And so, yeah, like, just growing up, I always wanted to be on the East Coast. I think it's nice that outside hockey, my family, who is coming up today, actually, that's it sounds like a long drive, but it's only 6 hours opposed to being on the West Coast in junior hockey.
Sure.
So it was nice to be close to home. And also, yeah, like, the Burlington area, the Boston area, like, there's some beautiful cities and towns that we visit on this side, and to go along with some great hockey.
You mentioned, obviously, great pedigree here with Vermont. This team has produced so many winning teams in its own history. But when you do go up against the likes of a BU or a BC, is there ever a bit of an intimidation factor that you're going against that type of college hockey brand? Or is it a sense of pride that you guys know you do belong as well?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. But there is. There's a lot of pride. I mean, I would say that obviously that's what separates, I think, our team now from, I wouldn't say past teams at Vermont, but from other teams in college hockey, that they come across, they see these logos and these colors, and they're like, oh, well, hey, here they are. And one thing that me and Weeds had a meeting about this summer, but then also our team, is that, yeah, you know what, like, the green and gold means a lot too. Like, we go into a rink, we got to remember, hey, there's a lot of history with us, and we're going to make some more history, and that's the goal here. And that starts with, one day at a time, and that starts with Friday night as well.
Mm. Number 18, Boston College, in town Friday. I don't want to say, like, message for the haters almost, but is there a sense of almost internal belief amongst your group? Because you're a team that hasn't quite gotten to that pinnacle of late in the conference overall. No real shame in that because, yeah, like you said, some of these teams have made it all the way to the Frozen Four. But what is that message to the people who say, well, they're just maybe never going to quite get back to that top level? What is the message then from you guys that I know you guys believe you can?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it is a great point. Like, at the end of the day, it's, you call it spade a spade in black and white. Like, there hasn't been that success recently with our, I guess you could say, with our program and those teams, and you can't run away from that. That's just the numbers at the end of the day. But I think for us, it's, yeah, like, there is no message. I'd say it's going to be happened through action. Like, at the end of the day, we could, and Weeds, again, to put his name in this, he says this quite a bit. You can talk as much as you want and say what you want to do, but if you don't do it, nothing's going to show. So at the end of the day, like, yeah, this Friday and Saturday, we're really fortunate to have an opportunity here to show it.
Hope Catamount fans come out and support you guys this weekend. Let's talk about the on-ice product recently this year. Your goalie, Aiden Wright, has been feeling it to start the season. Yeah. What's that like to have a guy who's hot back there behind you?
Yeah, I mean, what a quality player. He's a phenomenal goaltender, great guy as well. And it is. There is a bit of comfort. I would also say, like, our goalies last year as well, very, very good goaltenders. But at the end of the day, too, there are the Aiden Wrights out there that you're just like, wow, I mean, this, does he ever stop? And so, we've been very, very fortunate with Ryder, and I think that there's still more to come for him at the end of the day. Like, he is a freshman. There's just more and more to build. And so and I think that helps out as well with our program. Like, again, you talked about, showing, like, we have, like, guys like Aiden Wright here, Keaton Harrington in our freshman class, that some real good players and guys that are going to help, again, elevate this program and push it forward. And so, with Ryder, the sky's the limit, I think, for him.
Caden Harrington, I know you've partnered with him at least once so far this season back there as a D pairing. How have you tried to bring somebody like that along? A freshman who's from around here, he's from Vermont, but what's it been like to kind of have a youngster under your wing, so to speak?
I think it's been great. I mean, it's been beneficial for both sides in the sense of, for me, I have a lot of pride and a lot of gratitude for this place and this school that I get to be a Vermont Catamount, but I think it's different when it comes from a Vermont kid. Like, you understand that there's that next level of pride that you try to now embody and take on with you. And so it's been good. I mean, he's obviously a very, very, very gifted defenseman and a lot of attributes that I would like to take into my game, and I think there's some things that I can give to him as well. So mm-hmm. It's kind of been a give and take process with me and Caden that there's a lot to learn from him, and there's a lot that I think I can give him as well. And so I think when we're both good that way, where we both want to listen and hear what the other person has to say. And so it's been beneficial for both sides.
Tell me about the changes of pairings that you've worked with so far this year, because I noticed you have kind of bounced around who you've partnered with. What's that been like? Are you guys searching for something? Is it just trying things different game by game kind of pairings? What's that all about?
Yeah, I think it's like, obviously last year, Phil Tornquist was very, very beneficial for me and kind of took me under his wing. And yeah, we played a lot of majority of the games, I'd say, together, or me or him or Luca Munzenberger, and both two guys that I was really lucky to play with. That's why I looked decent out there last year, because they were actually doing all the heavy lifting. But I think this year it's been really good just to bounce around and see what works. And I don't think, more so, I wouldn't say the word fine chemistry, but also just, yeah, like, oh, we know they work well together, let's try something else out. And I think for us, be adaptable. Don't ever get stagnant and be like, oh, this is the one guy that I can play with. And when things switch up all of a sudden, hit the panic button. But I have a lot of comfort playing with Phil Tornquist, who I'm very familiar with and who's a very, like, really quality player. And same with Caden, same with Charlie Kinsman. Like, right. We're really fortunate, I think, this year that we do. Like, we have 10 D-man who are really, really good and can get the job done every night. And so, also mixing things around to see what works, like you said. But then at the same time, like, don't be stagnant, or I guess having to lean on someone all the time.
Well, I'm curious about what you think goes into kind of that partnership. If you were to maybe not drop a dream partner, but with your skill set, what's a skill set that you think works kind of well with you?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a player that I really do. I like when I have the puck. I like when the puck's in my hands. And so when I have a guy that's able to be really smart, like, I guess I could draw comparisons to Phil, like, very good at just, he's very hard-nosed, very gifted defensively, and able to always give me a puck in a good place. I'm never really having to panic or be in a tough spot. He's really good at helping me out. And so with him, I really enjoy that. But yeah, like a guy who's very sound in the defensive zone and will shut down plays so we can turn the puck over and hopefully I can get contributing in the offensive zone.
I'd say the assist numbers back that up a little bit. 2 so far this year and 14 a year ago. When you do have the puck, what are the things that you're kind of looking for when it is those passes in the offensive zone? And what are you trying to just do when you've got it on your stick?
Yeah, I think being able, it sounds so, I guess, like simple, but then, yeah, like just trying to make a play. Like at the end of the day, trying to give the puck into, put the guy that you're giving the puck to in a better position than you had it. And I guess it comes down to just, yeah, making the small little plays, but at the same time, the game will present itself to me. And that's when I have to take advantage of that and put our team in a spot in either myself in scoring or someone else in a spot where they can put the puck in the net. And so, yeah, you want to be a guy who makes big time plays, and that just happens, yeah, shift to shift, take it shift by shift.
Okay, in my mind, it feels like we're still so early in this season, just a couple of weekends in, but we're diving right into Hockey East play. Already one weekend gone, and now number 18 Boston College, like we've talked about, in town this weekend. Does it feel early in the season to you still, or does it feel like we're pretty much in the swing of things now?
It is. It's a bit like, it does, I guess, feel a bit
such
early.
Such a long season, too.
Yeah, yeah. It does feel a bit early just because you feel like, yeah, like you mentioned, you just got into it, but at the same time, we did have a really, really long off season to the point where, I mean, you're just sitting up in your bed waiting for games to come and Hockey East play to head around the corner. And so, yeah, like I think it's been great so far in the sense of we're back into it, but it is still early. And one thing I would say with that is that we're still just building. This team has a lot more to give and a lot more to come. So yeah, it's good.
Is there going to be anything better than a gut Friday night bouncing in here with Boston College in town this
weekend? Yeah, it's hard to find anything better than that. We're really lucky. It's especially this year, they got the Den rolling on Instagram that I see, and so I love it. I love our students. I love that our support that we have here, and I'm excited to see them Friday night.
Time to take a quick break in our sit down with Jax. He returns on Catamount Insider with our Chat with the Cats segment coming up next.
Morgan Stanley Wealth Management values long-term relationships with its clients. Built on servicing clients well, relationships spanning decades. Your local Morgan Stanley Wealth Management office knows that building relationships begins with getting to know each of our clients. That's because each investor has different goals. For more information, call 658-2424. Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
Friday night, tune in on ESPN Plus. You can catch Owen Gund on the radio call, 7 p.m. both Friday and Saturday. All right, let's transition to our Chat with the Cats segment, Jax. I'm getting to know you a little bit beyond the hockey player now. What are you studying in school? Let's start there. What do you like to study right now?
I'm in the Grossman School of Business. I'm in business administration right now. I'm looking to concentrate in finance. Okay. And see how that goes. I mean, there are some days where you're like, yeah, this seems like a daunting task. This school thing isn't always the easiest thing in the world. But right now, yeah, it's business administration.
All right, excellent. As far as growing up, did you always just play hockey? Did you play any other sports? What was that like as you grew up in Canada?
Yeah, obviously hockey was always a big part of my life, but yeah. One thing that my parents have been really great in the sense of you have to be a very, very good athlete to play this sport, as you know, and to play any sport, obviously, but I think the more athletic you are, it makes you that much better of a hockey player. And for me, it was I played soccer growing up, played lacrosse, a bit of baseball, volleyball, track and field, cross country.
That like, is try, everything.
Yeah, try to touch them all and be well-rounded. And I think at the end of the day, that helps kind of shape me. I like to say that I am pretty gifted athletically, but at the same time, I mean, there's some days where I'm like, am I really that much of an athlete in some of these sports? When you watch our D1 men's basketball team, you got guys dunking, and I'm not anywhere close to that. And so,
well, just don't put them on skates, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I guess that is true, right? There's a give and a take, but yeah, try to do everything just to make myself that much better of an athlete and that much better of a hockey player.
Grew up playing pond hockey. I know you mentioned that. What's
yeah,
that like?
It is. It's in Canada too. I mean, like it is very similar to here, but
sure.
I feel like in Canada, like it is next level where you kind of lose sight of that a bit, but you drive around and every single pond you see frozen in January, you're pretty much seeing a bunch of kids out there with, you got some toques, I guess beanies is what you would call them here in the States. I'm sorry for the Canadian.
What would you
term.
Call them?
Toques, I guess I would say. I don't know if that's like a.
I would not call it a toque.
Yeah, I get some hard times for calling it a toque. Okay. So, But you got some guys out there with, hats, mitts, maybe some kids are in full gear. And I feel like that's where, in Canada at least, like, you really start to love the game. Like, there's no whistles, there's no coaches, there's no scouts, there's no parents. It's just you. It's you puck and a stick, and you're coming to some of your best friends. And, yeah, I think it's where you really learn to love the game and really enjoy it. And that's for sure for me. There's a lot of probably some nights where maybe instead of going in with your fingers frozen together, it would have been nice to go home a bit earlier. But I mean, it's just, you love the sport so much, and you got to take advantage of having a frozen body of water.
You ever get out on Lake Champlain when it freezes?
I haven't yet. I really do want to. I know some guys, I believe Dan Sambuco, he was out his freshman year. I saw, I looked incredible. So maybe this is,
we're hoping it's cold enough to freeze over, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're rooting for here in Burlington. Music to get you locked in. Are you a music guy pregame?
Yeah, I am. I get some hard times for my music taste from some of the guys on our team, but I'm a big EDM guy. I also like country, though. I'm kind of all over the place with music right now, but I'm a big EDM guy before a game, or some rap music is what I would say I'd go to.
Okay, pregame food. What are we going to?
Yeah. I try to stay away. I feel like hockey, it's such a general thing to have chicken before a game.
It's like chicken parm is always the answer.
I'm not a big chicken guy. Okay. So I'd say, like, ideally, right now it's a lot of rice, pasta, but I'd say if I could have someone make me a meal before a game, I'd do, probably some sort of steak, maybe a bit of broccoli, and I mean, probably throw some lasagna in there. Maybe that's a bit heavy. I don't know how I'll be moving that night, but I mean, I know I'll be well fed, which is what matters.
You're fueled at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you weren't playing hockey, what do you like to spend your time doing? What are some hobbies that, I know hockey's life at times these days, but if you weren't in the rink, or if you're not around it, what's something you just like to maybe relax or do in your downtime?
It's been a while. You feel like you just, school and hockey is what you're doing here. But it's a good,
I know,
it's a good question.
It's not early in the season if we're talking about that. We're in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's a good question, but I feel like for me, I'm trying to pick up the guitar. We actually have Cedric Gaindon. I hope one day maybe there's a video that comes out of how good of a guitar player he is, because he's unbelievable. So try to pick that up a bit and learn that. My sister's way, way better than me, so she's trying to give me some lessons. I'm sure that kind of gets annoying at times, but so I'd say the guitar, and then from there, it's terrible, but I'm not sure what else right now. When I was younger, it was like, I was on our chess club when I was younger, and my mom and dad were really big on, I don't know, there was a movie or a show that they were watching that there's a chess player in it. They're like, if you want to be a good hockey player, you got to be a good chess player. I was like, sounds good, guys, let's do this. And so, yeah, that bit growing up with some guitar, and then wake surfing, I guess, back home in the summers is a really big thing for me and my family. And so, yeah, I'd say those three things.
Tell me about the long bus rides. What do you spend your time doing on the bus? Is it nap? Is it movies? Is it homework? Everybody's got a different bus routine, I feel.
Yeah, like. I definitely some more homework this year, but I think with our group, we have some characters on our team.
Really? Okay.
So you get to listen to some of the voice, some of the banter that goes on our bus is always fun, and I'm sure it gives our coaches a bit of a headache thinking that we're 20 years old and some of the things that we talk about, you're like, come on, guys, let's grow up a bit. Whether it's Clash Royale or some sort of mobile game that you think maybe should be left for some younger generation. But get involved, talk to some of the boys, and then I'll sit and watch some video or do some homework too to make sure I'm doing something productive on a long bus ride.
What was your junior hockey experience like? You mentioned it out on the west coast of Canada there. I'm curious about those 2 years.
It was quite the process. I mean, Port Alberni it's a small little fishing town, really beautiful hockey community, a lot of great turnouts for our games, and which I was really lucky for. But obviously being 16, 17, moving away from home was quite the process, and something that I guess helped shape me into the human being I am today, which you're always grateful for. But at the time, it's hard to find the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes. But it was a lot of fun, a lot of growing pains, which is always good and is necessary. I mean, the BCHL, obviously now it's changed so much with this new landscape in the NCAA for Division I hockey. But at the time it was like a lot of long bus rides, like you mentioned, here. And so a lot of homework, cause I was still in school, and, it was good though. It was good.
It's just so different than many of the other college sports that we talk about. There's not like a junior level for most of these other teams. How do you feel like it got you ready for college from a hockey perspective, and maybe even outside of hockey, how it got you ready for this time of your life?
Yeah, it did many, many things for me in the process of just becoming, I mean, I wouldn't say a man quite yet, but you're 16, 17, and you're away from home and right. you're not with your parents anymore. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, you kind of got to do some growing up, figure out how to deal with some things on your own, pardon me. But it was good. Like, on the ice, I think it helps bridge the gap from, I mean, there's some grown men in this game, especially in, like, for college hockey and hockey, like we mentioned. And so being able to bridge that gap and kind of have those few extra years where you can put on some more muscle, get used to the pace of the game and help you grow, which is great. And then off the ice, yeah, like learn like what do you need to do to make yourself feel good day to day. And if you're in a slump, like you're by yourself, right? At the end of the day, you got to dig yourself out of that. And I think, yeah, when you're able to, I guess the biggest thing is like when you're able to be able to be happy with yourself and be able to know what works for you is helps now when you get into school and you got homework and all these relationships and things you got to balance. It's it pays out a lot.
All right, Jack, so that's going to wrap up our episode this week. Let's get a couple of wins this weekend, all right?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, dude.
Thank you.
He's Jack Swismer, everybody. Talk to you next time on Catamount Insider. Thanks again to Jax for joining Catamount Insider this week. Great to get to know him and hear about his story. Such a great personality. Was having so much fun during that interview, I thought, and fun to hear about him and his team. And I love that just green and gold pride that he's clearly got and brings to the ice every single day, because he's right. There is such a rich history with this program. And I know they have a big time belief internally that they've got what it takes to once again become a real powerhouse in Hockey East play. So stay tuned throughout the rest of the season. Get on out to Gutterson Fieldhouse this weekend to watch Jax and the Catamounts take on Boston College. Should be a really fun weekend around Catamount country. That's going to do it for our show this week. Hope you enjoyed that one with Jax Swismer. I'm Brian McLaughlin saying so long. Talk to you next Friday morning on Catamount Insider.